The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Cap J-Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. We're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, and good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776
is
the telephone number.
Tullamore Dew.
Electric Boogaloo. Would you like Boogaloo. to hold the bottle?
No, not really.
Why not? Hold it up. Why don't you hold it up? Yeah, hold it up.
I thought you wanted me to like take a little swig.
Well, you're not going
to
do that. I mean, I understand, but I would.
Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Take that.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's good product placement. When you hold it, that's good.
Take that.
See? And so, and by the way, Carmen already opened, he already cracked the seal on it.
He did?
He did yesterday during crosstalk. He already cracked the seal. He couldn't wait to try some Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Glad to have you in today here. Still to come at the bottom of the hour at 9:35, Cap and I will review the Cubs and the White Sox in the season that was.
Yes.
We'll get to that coming up. But we're talking about the Bears and Justin Fields. And, Cap, you got a chance during Yom Kippur to take a look. That's what it's called, by the way. Yeah. I've got the bumper sticker.
Yom Kippur.
It's got the Star of David.
And or
it's got,
Capper.
It's got the Star of David, and it's got Yom Kippur.
Yeah, K-A-P-P-E-R.
Yeah, that's what you had yesterday. That's why you were off, and I was working with Brian Hanley. So
yes, sir.
I want to find out from you some of the things that you saw from the Bears.
So I did my services. I fasted. I did the whole deal. And then I was sitting there just killing time, trying not to think about eating, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get the iPad out, and I'm going to go through the entire game, all 22, and the condensed version of the game. They take all the riffraff in the middle, the commercials and the milling about play to play. Here we go. 30 minutes, game, done.
It's great to look at.
Awesome. And a lot of observations. I've listened to Waddle and Sylvie. I've listened to Bleck and Abdallah, Carmen Yurko, you, everybody. Gotten all these opinions. Made a couple calls to people that played. Talked to a friend of mine who scouted. Got all this intel. And here's what I'm telling you. First of all, on the defensive side of the football, they stink against the run. They're getting blown off the ball. They do not have enough talent up front. Roquan, while he's a talented cat, is not playing at $100 million level, not even close. He does not grade out that way. You can look at any metric you want. He is not playing at the level we expect him to play at. Okay, not great, has to be better. The rookie cornerback, Kyler Gordon, he's struggling. Mm-hmm. Again, he's a rookie cornerback going up against this week Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. He's got his hands full. Same with Brisker. Brisker on one play where they ran Daniel Bellinger out there, he read the play correctly, and then he thought, oh, that's a run. He bit at the end, and Bellinger released right out and picked up whatever he picked up, significant yardage. And you see Brisker with his hands on his hips like, damn it! He read it. He didn't make the play because he's not comfortable yet. He's a rookie safety. On the offensive side of the football, your tight end is not good as a receiver. It's just a fact. Just put the tape on. Does a solid job as a blocker. You don't draft blocking tight ends in the second round. Looks like, at this point, another Ryan Pace miss. You leave Chase Claypool on the board from the same school, so you saw him, and you take this guy. Doesn't look like the right pick at this point.
Fair.
I hope it works out.
Fair.
Braxton Jones, way too upright in his blocking. There's a video from Baldy's Breakdowns, Brian Baldinger, of Penei Sewell from the Lions, mm-hmm. who was the most heralded offensive lineman coming out in a long time. And you're supposed to be able to set a platter of food on an offensive lineman's back when he is engaged and he is down and he's parallel. And Baldy goes through this whole break. Penei Sewell is what a specimen. His form is outstanding. Braxton Jones is not strong enough. He's getting moved around. There's a play where one of the Giants linemen come off the ball right into his chest and drive him right back into blasting game, our fullback.
Mm-hmm.
That's our left tackle.
Right.
Getting blown back into our fullback, who in turn makes contact with Justin. Doesn't end well. Then there's the wide receiver room. Our wide receiver room is awful. Horrific. Darnell Mooney, nice player. Glad we have him. He's not a one. He's not a two. He's a three. Period. Your starting running back, I like. He's injured. Your second running back, Khalil Herbert, nice runner, slasher, plays hard. Horrific in pass protection. Terrible. Gotta be better. Got to be better. And then there's your quarterback. And I agree with a lot of what Dan Orlovsky said to us. He might have PTSD because he gets hit so much, but there are times where he steps back in a clean pocket. The play design is not to go 55 yards down the field. It's to hit a freaking 9-yard route, and he's not pulling the trigger.
And all of this that you talked about, all the things that you talked about, whether it is Jaquan Brisker or whether it is Braxton Jones, or whether it is some of the other young players on this roster. You mentioned the offensive line, too. You know, even Lucas Patrick, a veteran. All of this is about transition and learning. Dominic Robinson, where's he been, by the way, last couple of weeks? Has he been active?
I think he's out there. But again, week one in a monsoon, he made a couple plays. And everybody's like, oh, what a great play. Stop.
Kyler Gordon, Brisker, we talked about. Cap, they're all learning.
Yes. They're four games into their career.
Look, I mean, you can't listen. I mean, it's interesting that we could say what we see, but I know it won't be accepted by everybody, and I'm not trying to be accepted by everybody. What I'm looking at is a depth chart filled with young players and guys are just a guy on this Bears team, meaning that you have veterans are trying to look for the next paycheck someplace else.
Correct.
This roster will change next year, next offseason.
A ton.
Wholesale changes. Because after a year of evaluation, they'll look at Braxton Jones and go, you know, even Riley Reiff was not good enough at left tackle. And Braxton Jones, if maybe with a little bit more development, that's okay. When you tell me, based on what you watch, that Tevin Jenkins might be the best offensive lineman the Bears have, there's a guy here that was AWOL before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, in spots, is the best offensive lineman you have. Well, if you have a young quarterback, you have to have more than one good offensive lineman. Got to have more than one.
Correct.
And again, we say one, not saying that Tevin Jenkins is a Pro Bowler. We're just saying that that's just a guy that seems to grade well. All I want to know is that is my quarterback upright, and is he able to be able to get the ball down the field? That's what I want to know.
So,
is that fair or no? Cap, he's the most valuable player on the roster. And I know that people are criticizing him, and rightfully so. That's based on the numbers, based on what we see when we watch the games. One good left eye, one good right eye. HDTV. In your bar, your lounge, your hood cave, your she shed, you could see the same thing, that there's struggles offensively. But I expected that.
Correct.
When we saw the final roster come out, when we saw the depth chart, we said, eek. It's a lot of hoping and wishing with young players.
They designed it this way.
Right.
So they're not trying to win.
I ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody as a Bears fan. I'm just watching the games, and what we're reporting on is what we see.
Okay.
Game to game. And we're not casting any aspersions on this is what it's going to be in year three, year four. I know what this is.
To rebuild.
Right.
So there are all these people on social media fired. Sam Mustipher's horrible. He's an undrafted player. You're asking him to snap the ball, fire off the ball, and block Dexter Lawrence, who was a first-round pick, number 17 overall, out of Clemson. He signed for $14 million, approximately. You're trying to block him with an undrafted player. I'm shocked that you, not you, people out there,
the royal
are shocked.
The royal
I can't believe this Mustafer. He's trying to block an animal. That guy's a great football player, Dexter Lawrence. D-tackle, 24 years of age. He's a monster. Stop. Come on.
Shay, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 on the Bears. We want to get your thoughts on this Bears team. The question that's posed is, when will you hit the panic button on Justin Fields? Shay, what do you think?
Well, my issue with, and not necessarily when I'll hit the panic button, but my issue with the front office clearly is not trying to win, right? The way that they addressed the offseason, the things that they did, they didn't bring in anybody on offense, no wide receiver, didn't really address the offensive line. It was kind of clear, we are not making an effort to win, but the coaching staff is trying to win every single game that they go out there on Sundays. So it feels a little bit like maybe the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You're not working to develop the quarterback as effectively as maybe you could because it's not the best path for you to win games on Sundays. That becomes an issue for me when I see, like we all agree, this year's about learning and development. I'm not seeing Justin learn or develop because they aren't using those opportunities because they're coaching in a way that gives them the best chance to win while the front office didn't assemble a team to win.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. If you were in charge, what are you going to do that's going to allow you to see if Justin's developing?
Thing I would do is I would, in a 2-minute drill, I would use the timeouts. And if he throws a pick, he throws a pick. That's a learning experience. But I would use the timeouts, and I would have him run a 2-minute drill because you can't simulate it in practice.
You can't cut the heart out of 52 other guys. You can't. You're dropping back at your own 15 with 3 timeouts, and we're going to try and throw and go, oh, God, he just got sacked and fumbled. Oh, God, he just got picked off because no one's open. You can't. You've got 52 other guys in that room that you're asking to bust their ass, put their health on the line.
Well, can I flip that the other way, though, too? Because you've got 27 guys, whatever, on your offense. You've got 11 on the field in that position. You're telling every guy on that offense, we don't trust you to do this. You're not just telling the quarterback that. So I think if you have everybody on that offense run a 2-minute drill, it's team sport. You're all getting the experience of something you cannot simulate in practice.
And then you are telling your coaches that this is Ryan Poles. Guys, we're having a meeting. I don't care about wins and losses. That gets out, your culture's dead. I don't care about wins and losses. Put that kid in a position, and if he fails, so be it. You can't do that. Cannot.
Shay said something interesting.
Bad team.
About the, yes, thank you very much. Yes, we know that, yes.
They're arguably the worst team in the NFL. I know they lost to the Texans. They shouldn't have.
But the Texan says, hold my beer.
Yeah,
you
correct.
You think you're bad.
2 tip passes later, we won, and everyone's like, we got 2 wins. Stop. Should be 0-4.
Shay said something about how the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. We're going to unpack that and also hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears, coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget the same ESPN Chicago app where you could find Good Karma Wrestling. Good Karma Wrestling. You know it's Thursday, so you know what that means.
Good Karma Wrestling on the ESPN Twitter feed at ESPN 1000.
Exactly right. We'll have our show. We'll talk about AEW from Washington, D.C., also what's going on in the WWE. So if you're a wrestling fan or know of one, Good Karma Wrestling at 6 o'clock at ESPN 1000. On the app, by the way, is the podcast. That's where you can find the podcast. Just click GKW, Good Karma Wrestling, and boom, you're right there and you can subscribe.
You know, because of you, I'm assuming this happened. I believe it is. You know how you get the little notification? Bob Jones is now following you. Susie Q Public is now following you on Twitter.
Yeah.
I get one. It says John Cena is now following you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that must be, you know. Like Snorling changes his frickin' handle like every day.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what are you now?
I changed it one time for the holiday season. One time. Every freaking day.
It always looks different to me. Anyway.
Yes.
It says John Cena is following you. So I'm like, John Cena?
Yeah.
I click on it. It says verified account. It's him. John Cena.
Yeah.
That's because my partner is a wrestling guru.
Or what did I tell you? Do you remember what I sent you?
He likes the Cap'n Jay Hood show.
No, I did not tell you that. That's what I told you. He does not like the Cap'n Jay Hood show. I don't know if he... No, it's because you are an influencer, because you do stuff for people. He follows people that are inspirational. You probably saw which was trending, Bernie's Book Bank.
Or Tune Out the Matote.
Something along those lines. He's like, oh, he's doing a walk for Bernie's Book. Yep, that guy's an influencer. That's what John does.
By the way.
No one's had more Make-A-Wishes than John Cena. He's had the most Make-A-Wishes in the history of Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, and our friend CM Punk is big with Make-A-Wish. He's an awesome guy. Lives here in the Chicago area. Loves CM Punk.
Sidebar?
It's not even really a sidebar. Okay. We can call it a sidebar.
Brought to Aiken Law.
3126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my ball.
So I went to buy cookies and ice cream for my kids.
Yes.
Where Sylvie told me to go. Hit it out of the park on this scoops and cookies in Deerfield.
Right.
Where Candace Parker goes.
Candace Parker goes there, right?
I walk in and the owner, Waddle, Billy, and his wife are there. And they said, oh, my God, you won't believe this. An entire basketball team from Trinity, the university up there where Leslie Frazier used to coach football, shows up. The entire team. They all walk in, girls team. And the wife says, what are you all doing here? Well, the girl goes, my dad is a huge Bears fan. He lives in L.A., but he gets up early to listen to this one show, Cap and Hood. And she starts laughing, the owner. What? Yeah. He told me that Cap mentioned this ice cream place on the air that we got to try. And he goes, it's right by your school. Go over to Scoops and Cookies. So the whole team went. And they almost bought us out of every cookie we had baked. Yes. That so is. If you're in that Deerfield area, go to Scoops and Cookies. It's freaking insane. Sylvie, thank you for the tip.
That is a sidebar.
Yeah, about that?
Because that's got nothing to do with John Cena. So Aiken got the most out of that. Thank you very much.
There you go.
I sent you an email, sir. I want you to take a look at it as we go to the phone lines. 312-332-3776 is our phone number.
Let's do it.
Go to your email, for God's sakes.
Oh, now?
Yes, now. I sent you an email. Taylor in Hyde Park is with us here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Taylor.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Taylor?
What's cracking, man?
Nothing much, man. Just enjoying this beautiful weather we're having in Chicago, so I can't complain about that. Not at all.
I got a feeling that the weather's always beautiful wherever you are.
You know, the weather is beautiful. When you're above the clouds, yeah. you're getting no rain. That's the beauty. You're always sunshining, baby.
Right.
Always. Fields panicking. This is the reason why all these pundits and rankings had the Bears winning 3, 4, 5 games, and everyone's like, no way, we're not going to, you know, win that few of games. This is the worst passing attack I've ever seen in the modern football history. Mm-hmm. I panic because Justin Fields can't do anything right. He doesn't have a great deep ball. He's not accurate. He doesn't see the pocket really well, collapses constantly. He doesn't really, isn't cerebral with what he's seeing out there, and he's gun shy. So I just don't see any positives from him that give anyone confidence that he can win, 6, 7, or 10 games in any given season. So I think I've already panicked, and to be honest with you, I just can't wait until we start talking about basketball.
That's soon. That's right around the corner.
Yeah, when you say panicked,
yeah,
I don't understand. Taylor knew this going in. Taylor's an astute, smart man.
Taylor is.
So if you already knew this coming in and all it did is reaffirm you, you shouldn't be panicked. You should just be resigned to it's a long process, in my opinion.
What do you think of that, Taylor?
Well, I think the problem, I'm saying panic because it seems like we're trying to win games. And if we're trying to win games, there's only one or two guys that I want to get out of the college football, quarterback kind of round table. So that's why I'm panicking. I'd rather this organization, I know it's hard to say, you have many other players on the roster playing for contracts and playing for pride, but we're sitting here trying to win these games, and to me it just serves no purpose because he's not developing, and we're probably not going to win as many games. And in the games that we are going to win, we probably shouldn't win. So it just kind of puts us in a bad position. And so as a fan, it just makes you want to root against your team because you know that this guy is not the guy who's going to lead us to the promised land. It's another, you know, road-setting dorm quarterback.
All right. We appreciate
Thanks,
the phone
Taylor.
Call. So, you know, one of the things I really love, Cap, you need to learn these things. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really love is quarterback tier talk. I love the quarterback tiers. So the reason why is because Mike Sando always does a great piece in the summer and gives you, based on general managers he's talked to, you know, front office people, who are the best of the best in the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? So I went to For the Win from USA Today. It's kind of, you know, sneaky good For the Win.
Sneaky good. Really For is. The Win is, I subscribe to USA Today, and the For the Win section is awesome.
Kind of sneaky. We don't talk about it enough, but it's a very sneaky section.
Yes.
Piece entitled NFL Quarterback Tiers Week 5. Geno Smith makes his case, and Joe Burrow and Jared Goff make leaps. Now, this quarterback tier is based on what we saw last week, not who the best quarterbacks are in the National Football League.
Right. Through 4 weeks, Geno Smith's number one.
Okay, and this is just this is based on his performance against the Lions. So I totally understand. I mean, he put up a ton of points. One thing with the Lions, they can't stop anybody, but they can score too. So when you saw this, Geno Smith, ? Is number one on this list based on what we saw last week. Patrick Mahomes is second. Tua is third. Before the injury, Tua was slinging that ball down the field. The only lefty in the NFL, by the way. Isn't that weird? He's the only lefty that's that throws the southpaw at the quarterback position.
Correct.
Isn't that weird? Not more than one, just him.
There's very few that have ever had success. Very few.
So that's
Steve Young, Mark Brunell, I can't think of many more.
So that's the top tier. Geno Smith, Patrick Mahomes, Tua Tagovailoa. The next tier is Josh Allen. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Herbert. Put a pin in Jalen Hurts for a second. We get this all the time, you and I, on social media. What if Justin Fields turns into Jalen Hurts? Well, same thing in Philadelphia. They had to wait. I mean, people wanted to throw Jalen Hurts out of the door as soon as they saw him throw some interceptions and start to underachieve, but they hung in there with him, Cap. They were not panicked. They didn't hit the panic button. He's still the quarterback, and they're flourishing with weapons.
Plus, they have a guy named Lane Johnson, beast. They have Jason Kelce, Travis's brother, etc. Beast. They've got so much talent around him, he feels supported. Devontae Smith from Alabama, the 11th pick overall. Mm-hmm. He can fly. A.J. Brown, they gave up a ton in trade to get him. We aren't there yet. It's just a fact, man.
Also in that tier two is Justin Herbert. He's on there. And then you get to the next level, Trevor Lawrence, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Burrow is 10. So you got to keep scrolling this piece for a little bit, Cap. You got to get your mouse and keep scrolling down for this past week to try to find our quarterback. Just keep scrolling. Oh, God.
Yeah, and what it says is if you're on the bottom left, and there's two names.
Yes.
Things have gone horribly wrong. That's Justin Fields and Baker Mayfield.
Brother, this is tier 9, okay? That's tier 9 of last week, and it's entitled, Oh, God, no! Do you see this? Look at my screen.
Hold on, I'm going all the way down.
To number 9.
Tier number... Oh, God, no.
Shay, did you see this earlier? That's quite the tier. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
So I will put you on the spot. Shay, Justin
Trubisky's
Fields...
Trubisky's ahead of him.
Well, Trubisky's a better quarterback than Justin at this point in time.
Justin
Fields or Baker Mayfield? Could Baker Mayfield do anything with this Bears team, Shay?
No. Can I take neither?
You got to take one.
At least Justin's loved in his room by his teammates. They talk about his leader. Baker Mayfield's a jackass, what they say.
At least Justin's still young and not a rookie deal. Baker, I'm out.
Think about that. Fields is down there with Baker Mayfield. And Mayfield's, I mean, again, top shelf as a pitch man, bottom shelf as a quarterback.
They have... Baker Mayfield, 32, Justin, 31. Oh, God, no, that's their only two in that division, that section. And above them, Davis Mills, Mitch Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones.
At 24,
At 24, mm-hmm. All the way up there. Cousins, we get him this week, 23. Jameis, Stafford, Wilson going up. That's your 20.
So there you have it. So they have Justin Fields down there with Baker Mayfield as far as quarterback play in this league. That is something.
Oh, God, no.
That's a hell of a tier when you're going through it, right? I just wanted to share that with you because when I saw that, I said, okay, I know Justin can't be in the middle. It's got to be, and it's bad, as bad as we thought.
I'll tell you who's playing good football is Jared Goff.
Man.
Not Jason Goff.
Oh, sorry.
He does the Bulls on NBC Sports Chicago. Jared Goff, Detroit. He's playing good football.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man.
All right.
Let's be fair.
Coming up next, the end has come for the White Sox and the Cubs. But who's going to be better first? We'll discuss it coming up next.
Chug it, chug it, chug it. Here comes the little blue machine.
The Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. All right, Danny, here we go.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Love when the boss is in a good mood.
Well, we're the reason for that, pal.
Take that.
We're the reason for that good mood.
There you go.
And our audience is the reason for that good mood. And thank you for listening every morning to Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. You've helped us build this show, and we thank you for tuning in and streaming with us every morning. So, you know, Cap, I was watching the White Sox yesterday get bludgeoned. And I'm going to miss baseball as far as in this town, Cubs and White Sox. I'll miss it. But, man, I will not miss the up-and-down, inconsistent ride of my team. I mean, at least you have some momentum here in the second half that you didn't expect. You got a present that you didn't expect you were going to get from the Cubs as far as how they played with a lot of no-names on that team. But for the White Sox, that up-and-down, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, 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 win, 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 loss, win, loss. Cap, that has been, it's been exhausting, quite frankly.
It's been exhausting.
On this side of the table, where I've got to sit there and invest time 3 hours a day to watch a team coin flip whether or not you're going to win or lose because of bad defense or having offense I haven't seen since I was a kid, 1980s offense where you have no power. That's just for a team that's supposed to go far in the playoffs. This has been exhausting for me as a Sox fan, and I'm going to miss baseball, but I won't miss that nonsense.
And they have some really, really tough decisions to make. I mean, super tough decisions to make. What core player are you going to trade? Rick has said we can't just throw money at the problem. I think they will spend money. Who are you willing to trade?
Lucas Giolito. It starts there.
Okay.
Enough of that.
Who are you replacing him with?
I understand. Well, listen, that's up to Rick Hahn. I'm just telling you that I want something new over there at 35th and Vec.
And I think he wants to trade a position player of note.
Oh, do that too.
Okay, are you willing to trade? You trading Tim Anderson?
No, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this earlier, and it's just like, I don't know. Tim Anderson is a great trade chip. I don't know if you could take the PR hit, Brooks Boyer, of Tim Anderson being gone. That guy is the face of Change the Game.
Yeah.
I don't think you want any backlash from trading that guy. Whatever you think of Tim Anderson, when he's hot, when he's at the top of the lineup, he does something.
Don't disagree. He played 79 games.
I get it.
He is on a exceptionally team-friendly contract.
Yep.
If you packaged him and you want to trade Giolito, you can get a hell of a player back.
Get it, but
I'm not advocating trading him. I like him. You know that. Are you going to trade Luis Robert? Because he plays part of the time, and he doesn't always look like he's playing hard.
I just want him to be healthy. Once he's healthy, that's part of your future. It's part of your present and your future. That guy is going to be
trading Andrew Vaughn?
A perennial all-star. No, that's your future first baseman, probably.
Right? You're not re-signing Abreu?
Tough decision, isn't it?
You trading Aloy?
Tough decision, isn't it? Now, you know,
that's my point.
You know, I'm not a fan, right? Like, I don't want him in left field floundering into the net and getting hurt.
But at
the time.
DH, you do.
I get it.
And if you don't re-sign Abreu, then you can put Vaughn at first.
But just understand, when you have a glut of DHs on this roster, it becomes problematic.
Correct.
You got a DH behind the plate, too. What are you going to do at catcher?
I buy him out, and you're out. Gone. See you later. Thanks, Yasmani. It didn't work.
Shay, I don't want him on this baseball team anymore. Because I already got DHs.
You know, I saw this the other day. By lineup, like the White Sox record, by catcher, Yasmani Grandal was the only catcher who, when they played, they had a losing record.
And by the way, I like his leadership. When he speaks, Cap, it does hold weight. I like when he has something to say. But I can't take the average to below average receiver catching and the below average offense. Sorry. The juice is not worth the squeeze for him to be on this baseball team. That's what I mean. The tough decisions have to be made. But if I hear or we see in the hot stove league, you know, Rick Hahn with his back against the wall at some hotel in San Diego, we tried to make moves. We tried to make the tough decisions and nobody wants. Are you going to come back with this team? Are you serious?
They're not coming back with this team.
Cap, I thought they were going to make moves at the deadline. He didn't do it either.
And I said to you, and you didn't want to hear it, I said to you, they're not going to. Rick believes this team isn't good enough. It's fatally constructed, and he'll fix it in the offseason.
And if he doesn't?
If he comes back with the same team, again, he has two other guys he answers to named Jerry and Kenny.
I don't care about that.
It's not all on Rick's plate. It is not.
But he's the spokesman. I want him to be. I want them, collaborative effort or not, to figure this thing out.
Agreed.
I'll say, and you'll agree with me. The window's still open.
I completely agree. But you can't tell me. I don't know about the PR hit if I trade that guy. I don't want to trade Luis Robert because if he's healthy, brother, you're going to have to trade somebody that you go, oh God, we traded who?
Well, it's not Tim Anderson for me, but I just know that you got to figure out right field. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out third base. Mm-hmm. Got to figure out second base. Got to figure out behind the plate. Got to figure out who the manager is. Got to figure out how you can get better on your bench.
How about your bullpen?
No more Diekman, no more Kelly.
Kelly's got another year at $8 million.
See ya.
You shaky bastard.
He is. And you're not going to just go, hey, Grandal, here's $17 million. Kelly, here's $8 million. They're not going to hand out $40 million in deals to guys to pitch against them or play against.
Can I just tell you something, Cap? That's all fine. As a fan, I'm telling you what I want. That's what I want. They could do whatever the hell they want. I'm just saying that if you're going to run back with these shaky bastards that's on this roster, some of the guys that did not flourish, that did not execute, then you're just fooling yourself. That's all I'm telling you.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying. But it is not realistic to think that you are going to just start paying this guy and that guy.
Stephen Cohen would do it. You got Robinson Cano's ass out of there.
That was one guy. I don't.
Still.
And plus, Stephen Cohen is a multi-billionaire.
What's Jerry broke?
He's not Steve Cohen. And their revenues, you can go look them up. Their revenues pale in comparison to the team on the north side.
Sure, but let's not act like they're crying poor over here.
No one's saying they're crying poor, Shay, but you're not going to go, hey, Jerry, I'm buying out him for $15 million and him for $17 million and him for $8 million.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's not realistic.
Well, I'll tell you what. You count the money, I'll count the wins. You go ahead and count their money. I'm not worried about their budget. I'm worried about them trying to figure out how they can get through this window and win the World Series. You count the money. You be the accountant, and I'll be the fan. How about that?
Okay.
You do that. You figure out the money and what they can swallow and what they can't, and I'll tell you whether or not the roster composition is any good. That's how I look at it. I don't care how they do it. I just want to see a World Series championship.
To little Johnny in 2005 when you got the call, they traded Carlos Lee, El Caballo, for who? Scott Podsednik, that little flea in Milwaukee? Won the World Series because of one of the deals like that. Take balls.
Controversial at the time.
Very. People said Kenny's nuts. Mm-hmm. Scotty Pods turned out to be a hell of a player for them.
Well, and that's the move, right? Because everybody talks about, maybe you don't re-sign Abreu. Well, if you do that, you also have to have balls and replace that money someplace else, which is not, it's easier said than done. But if you can't just not re-sign Abreu and then not use that money, that has to be replaced on the field.
Do you want Elvis Andrus back, Shay?
I think you bring Elvis back, yeah.
Okay, there's your money. You just spent it.
See, that's not enough, though. I'm saying, like, you can't, he's already on the team. You can't take Abreu's money and give it to Elvis and say, we did it.
You didn't pay
you
Elvis.
You gotta
last
give
year.
Money someplace else.
You didn't pay Elvis last year. You had him for the league minimum.
I think his
option was $15 million.
I understand that, but I think what I'm trying to get at here is it gets difficult when you go, well, just don't re-sign Abreu, move Vaughn to first. Because if you look at free agent outfielders, especially in the corner outfield, market ain't great. Andrew Benintendi ain't coming in here and rescuing you. Mitch Haniger ain't coming in here and rescuing you. So my thing, like personally, I think Vaughn is the best trade candidate. Get you real corner outfielders. There you go.
Yeah, I hear you.
Wow. That's the ballsy move.
It's something, Cap. Whatever it happens, I just want them to get through the door. I want them to get through this window and win a World Series. The roster, the core of the roster should be good enough. They all underachieved or they were injured. I just want to see more.
Andrew Vaughn is what, 24 years old?
Yep.
Yeah, 24 years old. His OPS this year was 750. What do you think you're really getting for him?
What are you getting for Eloy? What are you getting for Giolito right now?
Aloy is at least your only 40 home run threat on your roster, period.
Did he hit 40 home runs?
He was hurt. If you don't play him in the outfield and you make him your DH, he's the one guy in your organization right now that can go, that guy can hit 40 bombs.
That's the same thing as if I'm trying to sell my car and I tell you I want to sell my car for 15 grand. It runs great, but it's been broken down for the last three years.
You got to
sell it as is.
He's gotten hurt playing the outfield.
He's got to be a DH for somebody, not the White Sox.
I would keep him as my DH.
Nobody's trading a boatload for a DH in this Major League
Baseball.
They're
not trading a boatload for Andrew Vaughn. They're just not.
There was a time that was a hot name.
Yeah, for Frankie Montas.
Yeah.
And fortunately for them, they didn't make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Where's he, in New York?
Yep.
Yeah.
My favorite Cub and the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day next on ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Just let me do. Mike Greenberg comes your way at 10, followed by Carmen and Yurko at 12.
Oh, he's working.
It'll be Wild and Sylvie at 2 o'clock, followed by Miller and Aki in for Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8. All part of the mix right here on the home for sports ESPN 1000. Time now for the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day. Brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore have cooked up the city's best restaurant. Sit on the patio while the weather's still cooperating.
Awesome. Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
We're in her room watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The wall butts up to her parents' bedroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no shot I'm doing that.
The headboard.
The pictures were falling off the wall. In the parents' room, the pictures are flying off the wall.
I'm like, Julie, no.
Time to cap it off, baby! Take that! Bam, bam, bam!
Time for the tip of the cap!
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Proudly presented by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Our guys, David Flom and Matt Moore. Make sure you say hi to those fine gentlemen when you go eat at Chicago Cut and try the lobster escargot. It's literally unbelievable.
Just hoping the tip of the cap's not on the menu.
Wow.
Be a small appetizer.
Flom just threw up.
Be a small appetizer.
That's very.
Coming in at 3 inches.
Nonetheless. Oh. You said tasty, you said.
Pleases me.
Okay. You said tasty. I didn't know you could do that.
Take that.
Only Randy Savage's brother, I know, that could do that.
Leaping Lanny Poffo.
He was known in the locker room to do tricks.
Wow.
Yes. You didn't know that, did you?
I did.
Lanny Poffo
did not need to know that.
You said it was tasty, so I had to go. That's the only story I can give you. My favorite Cub. What are you looking for? Your glasses are on your face.
Shay gave me a bunch of commercials, and I don't know where they
are. Okay, well.
Are you kidding me?
Okay,
I mean, all right, that's fine, but the show's not over yet.
I think I threw them away.
Oh.
I have them right here. You gave them back to me.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, I thought I tore them up. But that's for 10-10. We're still on the air.
Squirrel! I just panicked.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's got to be liberating because you don't get away with this nonsense on TV. Could you imagine?
Or at home.
It's amazing. So this is where you just act out.
Exactly.
School. That's what this is for you.
Your son, David, he acts out in school.
Oh, my God.
You're not like that at home.
My favorite Cub, Chris Morrell.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to figure this name out.
Chris Morrell. I like him.
It's Scott Burrell, but Chris Morrell. Christopher Morrell is going to lead this team. He's there, by the way. He had his eye black in, like, double stripes like a cat.
He always does, yeah.
That's kind of crazy,
he's
actually.
He's a great, great dude.
He talks to the umpire and is like, hey, how you doing? You know, like, just jovial, just happy to be in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cap, you got to take solace in the fact that in the second half, I'm not saying that you're watching every game. You didn't have to. You know the team wasn't going anywhere, but you had to be surprised. Like, why did they play so well in the second half?
After they traded four relievers. Hey, yes. David, I'm sorry, your four best relievers are gone. And they gave these young kids a chance, which let that be a lesson to all you armchair GMs out there. Don't get caught up in the names as much as giving guys a chance to perform.
Like McKinstry and Carraz over at second?
Neither one has a future here.
Oh, okay.
Although McKinstry, thank you for the grand slam yesterday.
All right. So based on what you've seen, especially in the second half, can you give me pillars? Or is it still too early?
It's early, but I would tell you pillar.
How about
for
Roy?
For sure, Justin Steele.
Roy?
Hey, Roy, how's it going?
Hey, Roy, how you feeling?
There you go. Saya for sure.
You think Justin Steele's a frontline starter?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
Okay. What else? Wilson? He'll be here, right?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
And Chris Morrell eventually is going to be that guy.
He'll be a player. He's not going to be a pillar.
Is Ian Happ on the team next year?
He should be.
Okay.
And he should be locked in. They should sign him, and I think they will engage in some extension talks. I hope so. I love Ian Happ. I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to be here. He's getting married to an Arlington Heights girl. Give the guy a fair contract offer and let him be a Cub. Guy's a good defender. He runs well. He plays hard, and he's a great person.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. He does all that. A little pop in the bat.
See, this is why I look at 2024 when I look at his depth chart, because there's no Smiley Miley on this team when you're good.
Hell no.
There's no Wozinski, a guy?
Wesneski will be part of your rotation next year.
Stroman still around?
Yep.
Okay.
Hendricks potentially back from his injury. And then you got to sign an anchor at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I could get a 3-year, $75 million deal with Carlos Rodon, done. Beyond 3 years, I'd be nervous. He's had shoulder surgery and elbow surgery.
Well, I'm telling you is that you still got some work to do, and this is why I look at 2024 saying, all right, this upcoming offseason, sign a few, figure out who's going to be the Pied Piper. See, look at this roster. If I'm a veteran player, I'm like, Cubs? Yeah, who else? I'll sign, but who else? Sign someone else first, and I'll sign. I can't. Everyone's not John Lester.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I look at 24 and say, all right, it's go time.
I want Trey Turner. That's the guy I want.
We thank you for listening and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to you for being part of it. Our thanks to JR and Shea on the other side of the glass. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Let's do this tomorrow for a Football Friday.
Take that.
On Chicago's Home for Sports. So long, everybody. All right. All right, here we go. From Chicago.